Welcome to Today's Homeowner with Danny Lipford, your partner in home improvement. Everyone has questions about their home. We've got the answers, and we have a few laughs along the way. Informative, entertaining, and sometimes off the wall. Home improvement has never been this much fun.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. I'm Danny Lipford, along with my co-host, Joe Truini. And this week, like every week, we're ready to share with you the most practical, realistic, most current home improvement information you're going to find anywhere. We're going to have a little fun. We're going to take a lot of calls and emails. We're going to share with you a lot of information I guarantee you can use at your house right away. Joe, one of the things that we hear a lot about is garage floors and all of the different options that are available now. Man, the garage is taking on a whole new life in a lot of different American homes and being used a lot of different ways. And with that, manufacturers are providing a lot of options for some really cool, durable floors.
Especially since most modern homes have an attached garage as opposed to a detached garage. So most people come through their garage. I know we do. We hardly ever use the front door. So we come, you know, park in the garage and come up through that way. So, you know, it's getting a lot more use than just an occasionally parking a car in there. And plus a lot of people are using it, of course, as a shop or to store other items. So, yeah, there are a lot of ways to not only dress up the floor, but protect it from all those oil stains.
That's right. We'll talk a lot about some of those options if you're thinking of kind of, you know, upgrading that garage space a little bit. Another thing we deal with a lot is problems in bathrooms. Joe, what is the most common problem or a common situation that causes a lot of problems in bathrooms?
Kids flushing toys down the toilet.
No,
Danny taking a 35-minute shower.
Moisture. So many times because, I mean, it's just, you know, you're introducing so much hot, moist air into that space. And if it doesn't exhaust out, it can cause a lot of problems. We have a homeowner that's panicking a little bit. We're going to try to help solve that problem. Another thing is a significant investment when you're talking about a heat pump, and there's a lot of different ways that you can go with different systems in the home, but we'll talk a little bit about that. Also, we're going to have a simple solution. Give us a little tease on that, Joe.
All right, Dan, I've got a trick for if you own have a little shop in your home or your garage somewhere and you have a bandsaw, which is an incredibly versatile tool. If you don't have one, they're pretty affordable these days. They make little benchtop ones. But there's a little simple solution for making that bandsaw blade last a long time because it can get damaged if you don't try this little trick.
And can get expensive. I'll tell you one time, the really large bandsaws is what they use to cut lumber at the sawmill.
Sure.
And I'll tell you how you can make a guy mad there is take in a tree or a trunk of a tree that you want to have milled up. And don't mention that you have approximately, 600 nails in that particular board. when I was a kid, I built this tremendous multi-story treehouse. And me and my buddy Mickey built this thing. We're proud of it. And we used it for a long, long time. But as we got older, we didn't want to go down there. And my father cut the tree down and took it to the sawmill innocently. Uh-oh. He didn't do it on purpose. He didn't, tell them not that. And usually, you know, they'll take a metal detector and run it over a board and kind of pull those. Well, a lot of these nails had grown, the tree had grown around them, so you couldn't really see them. Anyway, it cost my father two different blades that he had to buy for the sawmill and everything.
Wow.
I don't know what it was. I mean, those things are probably, I don't know what they are nowadays.
Hundreds
of dollars back then. It was still, you know, a lot of money for him. So that was some expensive lumber that he got out of that one there.
Yeah, I remember those making tree houses, and you'd take like a 1x4 or 2x4 and just nail it to the tree ladder, right?
Yeah.
And
the
nails, unless you step right in the middle, that always, you look at them and one would be pointed to the right.
That's right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of hard. You have to be like a monkey to
OSHA,
get up the tree.
Nothing OSHA approved on those at all.
No, not OSHA approved at all.
Hey, we had a great tip that came in I wanted to share with you. And we want to encourage you to reach out to us anytime. Our phone number is 800-946-4420. Today's Homeowner Hotline, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can also send us an email anytime, todayshomeowner.com/ask. That's what John Becca did out of Clancy, Montana, and he wanted to share this to share with you. You know, what he does is when he's painting and has, you know, several different gallon cans, he takes an old lid from one can and he cuts it in half with a set of snips. So, you know, fairly easy to cut. So you just cut it in half. Then he puts it on the gallon that he's using. And what that serves the purpose is when you dip your paintbrush in there, then you can use the fine edge of the top of the half top of that can to, you know, pull the excess paint off before you do it. He sent a great picture in here. And I thought that was a pretty good idea to be able to use one of those old paint cans. Because, you know, the one thing you don't want to do is to wipe that paint on the edge of the paint can, because it'll, you know, make it very, very hard to have a good seal for that. Well, I always love those paint tips, huh, Joe?
Yeah, absolutely. Of all the simple solutions I use, I've shared in the past, I think most of them, majority of them are painting tips. But yeah, that's a good one, because you can, it's called striking off the paint.
Uh-huh, that's right.
I had shared a simple solution on how to use a coat hanger to put across the can and use that as a strike wire. Mm-hmm. But this is a really good idea. You just used an old lid, cut it up. In fact, I might steal that and I'll give him credit, but maybe we'll shoot a simple solution of that. I like
good,
that.
Good, good. That sounds great. It would encourage you, you know, if you're sitting there thinking, well, I've got a tip here and there, hey, why don't you share it with us? Because the Today's Homeowner community, that's exactly what it's all about. All of us helping one another with all the challenges we have around the house. And one of the ways that to make home improvement a little more fun is to find some of these little tips, these little shortcuts, these little ways. That, of course, it's kind of trendy now to call it a hack. But I never liked that.
I don't like that word. Doesn't
me
sound
either.
Like something that's not very done very well or not precisely.
Right, I know.
I use a hatchet. All of these require a hatchet.
Yeah. So we don't provide hacks. We provide simple solutions, ways, and great solutions to common problems around the house. So if you have one, share it with us. Again, 800-946-4420. You can pick up the phone anytime, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and leave us that tip. Or again, send us an email, todayshomeowner.com/ask. Really appreciate all the great emails we got this week. Joe, you know this is a Labor Day weekend.
That's right.
Happy Labor Day to everybody. So many times people think of Labor Day is the end of summer. I don't think of it that way. I think of it as of course, I live in a different climate than you do.
Of course.
When you're in Connecticut and I'm down in Mobile, Alabama in the southeast. It's just getting to be tolerable now, you know, so you could finally maybe enjoy the outside instead of we had 95 degree temperature recently with, of course, 95% humidity, heat index about 110. That's just not a lot of fun. I don't care what you're doing unless you're underwater, is just not a whole lot of fun.
Or
and
in water.
I have been in the water a good bit, but even going out fishing the other day is just miserable.
Right.
I mean, I waited till 6 o'clock at night to go fishing, and it was terribly hot.
Yeah, well, as I mentioned before, I'm much more of a cold weather person than a hot weather person, so I'm here in Connecticut. Yeah, our summer's dwindling pretty quickly, and that's fine by me, but you probably have another 6 weeks of summer, eight weeks of summer, right?
Sure do.
It's getting nice up here, 70-degree weather. I love it.
But it's also the prime time for hurricanes right now.
So that's
we're
right.
Constantly watching watching the radar and hearing all of this, because the waters out in the Gulf of Mexico right now are really hot and perfect environment for a lot of those storms to form. So we hope we can, all of us can miss out on that. But you know, another significant thing, Joe, if I want to get a little sentimental here,
is that
on Labor Day in 1978...
Right.
Is my very first day that I started my construction company. The very first job I did, ironically, was on Labor Day. And
that was the only day you had to work? Because it's called Labor Day? And you're going to take the rest of the year off?
I was like a caged animal. I was so ready to jump out there in the world and make my mark. And I rolled up with my little pickup truck and one of my young friends helping me out at 7 o'clock that morning and finished the little project. It was building a greenhouse, and I'd planned it. I wrote everything out.
Right. Yep.
Finished the entire project, and I got that check at the end of the day. And man, I thought I was on my way. So
you were on your way.
It was
here. You are. Yeah.
It was amazing. So you know, years go by very fast, but and I think about all the thousands of homeowners that I've worked with over the years, and even though I'm not involved in the construction business as much as I used to be because of all of the television and radio that we do, I still enjoy catching up with my guys and making sure everything works okay. But those years do fly by.
They do. I mean, you don't even want to think about all that's happened in 44 years. But yeah, so congratulations. And most people don't start their career on Labor Day. They usually at least wait till the day after Labor Day.
I had to go.
But either way, congratulations. That's a great milestone.
Thank you. That is pretty cool. Hey, we certainly hope you're having a great Labor Day weekend. And hey, if you're laboring a little bit, that's okay. And I know a lot of people in the hospitals, you know, the hospitals don't stop. So all of the people out there in the hospitals, we appreciate everything you have been doing and the things you do each and every week to keep everybody safe and healthy and rolling right along. Hey, coming up, we're going to be talking about those options for your garage floor. There's some really expensive ones and some a little more reasonable, and a number of them are very do-it-yourself friendly. You're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio. I'm Danny Lipford along with my buddy Joe Truini. We're just getting started, so don't go anywhere.
Doing it yourself doesn't have to mean all by yourself. With the Home Depot as your partner, doing's never been easier. You can pick up skills online in a virtual workshop. Pick up what you need fast from easy in-store pickup lockers. Even have it delivered same day. Oh, and if you don't have time to tackle a project, our home services can do it for you. This is doing like never before. This is the Home Depot, how doers get more done.
So you like improving your home? Me too. Join me, Chelsea, at checkinwithchelsea.com for even more home improvement tips, tricks, and inspiration. I love improving my home and sharing the ups and downs with you so we can all learn together. Every month, I post a new project or how-to video with lots of other DIY posts in between. If I can do it, I know you can too. So drop by checkinwithchelsea.com or follow me on Instagram at checkinginwithchelsea.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. Hope everything's going well on this Labor Day weekend for you. And I want to say a special hello to one of our great stations that make it possible for us to be with you each and every week. KAPE 100.3 FM in Cape Girardeau, Missouri. A special hello to Program Director Steve Thomas and to everybody listening in and around the area of Cape Girardeau. We really appreciate that. We want to hear from you. 800-946-4420 is the Today's Homeowner Hotline. Also, you can go right online right now and send us an email by going to todayshomeowner.com/ask. Right now, we're going to head to Ohio, where we have a lot of listeners up there, and Mark's on the phone with us. Mark, welcome to the show, and tell us what's going on around your house there.
We got about a 25-year-old house with a slightly pitted garage floor, and we are exploring the epoxy or like a polyaspartic coating of some sort.
Okay, all right. There's a lot of options out there, aren't there?
Yes, there definitely are.
Well, I'll tell you, we've used just about all of them. I'll tell you, one we used a couple years ago was one of the interlocking rubber floors that was about a quarter inch thick and, you know, no gluing necessary and had little trim strips. And within just a couple hours, we did an entire double garage. And that's pretty cool. You know, it's the homeowners used part of it as a little weight room. And then they, of course, drove their cars on it and bicycles and so forth. Typical garage. That worked pretty well. Little surprised at the cost. It was a little expensive. And then you have some of the kits that you find that, you know, have the little flakes in them, and it's an epoxy system that you can use. But I'll tell you what I did in my garage, and now they're one of our sponsors, but I still would have done it whether they're one of our sponsors or not, but Deitch Coatings. I would go to their website and look at some of the videos and look at the different there's a new thing called Terrazzo that they are touting right now, and that's spelled D-A-I-C-H. DeitchCoatings.com. And I'll tell you, I'm very, very impressed with the one. I kind of went with a faux finish on my garage, and then I put a coating on top of it that they say is durable enough for forklifts to drive on it.
So now Danny wants to get a forklift.
Yeah, now I need a forklift to move around in there.
Yeah, I mean, and that's... Sounds like an interesting option.
Yes, I would look around. And they have several other types that are available there with stone coatings. Every time we've used it, as a matter of fact, we used it as recently as yesterday on a countertop that was phenomenal from start to finish on that. So I think that would be one of the best options. It's reasonable. It's easy to apply. Great instructions, everything you need on there. And just follow those instructions and the drying times that they require. You don't want to drive on it too quickly because those hot tires definitely can mess up any kind of coating, but I believe it'd be a great project. Takes about a day and a half to do it, and but it's going to be there for a long, long time.
I appreciate the insight. Sounds like a great option.
Okay, Mark. Well, thanks a lot, and have a great Labor Day weekend. We'll talk with you again, I'm sure. Joe, what is your thoughts? I can't remember in your garage if you don't have a coating on your garage right now.
I don't. No.
Yeah.
I don't.
That'd be a good gift for your wife, you know.
I would. She should hit me over the head with the squeegee that you. Here, honey. Here's a squeegee and a bunch of epoxy. Good luck. Call me when you're done.
What do you think on some of the floors like that? Because, I mean, it's nice when you can seal the floor up like that. It makes it easier to keep clean. And, you know, as you mentioned, as we talked about at the top of the show, so many people use their garage as the entrance to their home for those that live in the house as well as those that visit. So it's kind of nice to make it look a little bit better.
Yeah, and once you do it, you wonder why you waited. You know,
yeah,
it's just such
right.
an improvement. It makes it a lot easier to clean. A lot of people have called us about dusting, like the garage floor is creating lots of dust or tracking it through the house. Well, this would eliminate all of that. And Mark had mentioned a polyspartic. A lot of people aren't familiar with that because it's a commercial product and it has to be installed by a professional. Well, that's the absolute best coating. It's a clear concrete sealer. That you can embed vinyl flex, or they have quartz sand beads if you want to add a little a creative look to it. But that's the absolute best, and the big advantage that has, it cures in about 35 minutes, and you can, within 5 hours, it's done.
Wow.
You know, sometimes it takes days to do, like an epoxy floor could take anywhere from 2 to 5 days. So the only trick is, like any of these surfaces, they have to be prepared properly, have to be prepped just right. And the most important thing is they have to test the moisture vapor emissions from the slab itself. If too much moisture is coming through, it's going to affect the floor no matter what it is. Unless, like you said, you put down one of those snap together rubber floors, I guess. You know, maybe it doesn't matter if there's a little bit of moisture passing through.
Yeah. You know how people will hoard things or save things.
Right.
And I put that floor in that particular garage. Well, there were a couple boxes of that left.
Right.
Well, I held on to it. And that must have been 5 or 6 years ago. So I held on to those things. What am I ever going to do with this? I kept thinking, well, I moved into my new workshop out there. I thought about those boxes. I took them out and I had just enough, just perfect amount.
Oh, isn't that great?
To go right in front of my workbench all the way up. It's 16 feet long.
Right.
So I've got a rubber mat so that when I'm standing at the workbench, I've got that, the little rubber interlocking thing. And I had almost enough trim to go all the way around it, you know.
I love when that happens.
Yeah, you know.
When you pull it and you look around when you're done, you're looking to celebrate and nobody else cares.
I know, nobody cares.
You're looking for someone to pat you on the back. Nobody cares. Like,
nobody cares.
You finally got rid of that junk.
Yeah.
Go back in the shop.
Hey, let's grab an email here. We certainly appreciate all the emails that came in this week. We want to help you with any of the challenges that you have. You can send us an email right now by going to todayshomeowner.com/ask. This came from Pat in Georgia. The aluminum siding on my 1,600 square foot home is 40 years old, and needless to say, it looks like a big, dirty chalkboard. I'm trying to decide if I should replace it or paint it, which I know requires a lot of prep work. What do you think is more financially feasible? Thanks so much. I love your show. Pat, thank you very much. And I'll tell you what, you know, when you're talking about aluminum siding like that, you can very successfully paint aluminum siding if you do it right. You can go on todayshomeowner.com and you just put in aluminum siding painting in that search engine. We can take you step by step on it. But essentially, you want to get it clean. And we always recommend on something like this to use trisodium phosphate, TSP. And you could put that in a pump-up sprayer, spray it on there, scrub it a little bit, and that'll get the chalk off and prepare the surface to paint. And Joe, many years ago, I would say 15 or 20 years ago, many of the paint manufacturers started recognizing this and actually formulated paint just for aluminum siding.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can certainly paint it. And we often say, yeah, you can paint almost any surface. It's just a matter of, is it feasible? How long will it last? But the key absolutely is the prep. And Pat was asking, should we replace it or paint it? Well, the average cost, now she's in Georgia. I'm not really sure how much it costs to install aluminum siding in Georgia, but the average cost nationally is $7.50 per square foot. So she'd have to measure all her siding, and maybe that would be, maybe it's a little less money in Georgia. And if that's feasible, maybe it's time to get rid of the 40-year-old siding and put up something new. In fact, you might even consider vinyl, which might even be less expensive and require less maintenance. Because painting it is going to be a relatively expensive job, I think. And then, of course, now you have a new painted surface that you're going to have to maintain.
That's right. That's right. So, but I know, I'll tell you what, if you do it right, it will last a long, long time. I rode by a house the other day that we painted probably 10 years ago, and it still looks great. I mean, look great. And of course, it was a situation where they didn't have a lot of trees or shrubs pressed up against the house. Right. So it made it easier to not only do a good job on the painting, but also now you don't have the blocking of the sun that causes mold or mildew and things like that. So it's held up extremely well. Hey, you're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio. We're just getting started on this week's show. And coming up, we're going to be talking about some foundation wall repair, things that maybe have been caused by a little bit of water getting in the wrong place, which is often the case, but there are solutions to that. We're going to tell you about that and a whole lot more here on Today's Homeowner Radio. And we want to hear from you. Remember the phone number, 800-946-4420. Or if you'd like to send us an email, you can do that right now by going to todayshomeowner.com/ask. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Thanks for listening to Today's Homeowner. If there's a tip or piece of advice you may have missed, find it at todayshomeowner.com/radio. Today's Homeowner is brought to you by Pavestone, creating beautiful landscapes.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show, where it's time for our Best New Product segment, brought to you by The Home Depot, how doers get more done. Now, I'm going to tell you about a special exhaust vent fan, and this is one that I actually had the opportunity to look at way before it was even completed on the research and development. Now it's on the market, and you really need to pay attention to this one. This is very, very different. Now, most of us know that good ventilation is an important part of keeping our homes healthy, especially in bathrooms where there's just so much moisture. Now, a good exhaust fan will remove that moisture, reducing the possibilities for all of that mold and mildew. Well, the folks at Braun Newton have been making these fans for over 8 decades, but now they've upped the ante a bit with their new Surface Shield exhaust fan. Now, in addition to a 110 CFM fan and a powerful LED light, this unit also includes the Surface Shield continuous antimicrobial light, which prevents mold and bacteria from growing in the room. When the room's not in use, you switch on the Surface Shield mode and you have uninterrupted cleaning plus a beautiful violet hue. Plus, the unit features easy installation without the need for any attic access, and it's a whisper quiet fan motor. Very, very quiet. Now, you really need to check this out. It's the Surface Shield exhaust fan that, again, when you're using it, it is you know, eliminating the bacteria in your bathroom. But when you're not using it, you change it to another mode, and it continues that cleaning process. So a very modern way of really making sure not only do you get the hot, moist air out of your bathroom, but also the antimicrobial violet light also helps you a good bit. I'm sure you're curious about this, so check it out at HomeDepot.com. That's something that's it's kind of cool. And I know you and I've talked about that, Joe, a lot is
yes.
When they kind of take you behind the curtain and you sign the, you know, the NDA, the non-disclosure,
right.
And
yes.
Then it's almost like a drum roll and you walk up. Sometimes you go, oh, that's it? Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, sometimes manufacturers get way more excited than they should.
Yes, they do. And but this one was very exciting in that they were able to do this. And they're even about to come out with some monitoring things that you can just plug in anywhere in your house, and
right.
It will read your air for you. It'll tell you if you've got too much dust, if you have too, you know, if you have a high concentration of pet dander, if you have, you know, any type of viruses that are floating around. So technology is really going to make the home much different. And of course, it has changed quite a bit over the years, but it is a whole lot different from that standpoint. Okay, let's go to Minnesota, see if we can help Joe. Joe, welcome to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. Tell us what's happening around your house.
Hello, how are you?
Oh, doing very well.
That's good. In my bathroom, I redid my bathroom about 10 years ago, and my uncle was helping me, and he installed on a concrete foundation in the basement, we installed Dur-Rock on the wall, and I don't know if he attached it with screws or how he attached it with glue,
mm-hmm.
But then he put plaster on there, repainted it, stuff like that. Now, many years later, it's about 8 inches, 9 inches off of ground. It started peeling, and then the plaster started coming
mm-hmm.
off, now exposing the Dur-Rock.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to know how to repair that.
Okay. In situations where you've had, have you seen any moisture there at all, like on the heavy rains or anything like that, that maybe any moisture whatsoever noted in that area?
No.
Okay. Because most likely that's what it is in some way or the other when masonry products like that start releasing from where they've been adhered to, usually moisture's getting in there somewhere. Now that water could be wicking up from the floor. You know, if someone's getting out of the shower or spilling water on the bathroom floor for some reason, that can occasionally wick up into there, but usually it would come from the other side. Joe, what do you think on repairing this? And by the way, Joe in Minnesota, we appreciate you sending those pictures for us. We're looking at them right now. Joe, what do you think in terms of him actually scraping all of that loose material out?
Right.
And what would you suggest coating that with before he tries to do the cosmetic repairs?
Yeah, Joe.
Well, actually,
go ahead. What were you going to say, Joe?
I said wrong, Joe.
No. There's no such thing as a wrong Joe.
We'll just call you Minnesota Joe. And
there we go.
Yeah. Well, you have a couple of options here. If you want to try patching and replacing it, and again, thanks for these photographs because it helps a lot. Now, I noticed behind it where the toilet was is most of the damage, and I'm sure that's because of moisture. It's right next to the shower stall. The steam and the water coming out of that shower gets on the tile floor. It's got no place to go, and it gets absorbed by that plaster. You don't often see Dur-Rock, which is cement backer board, just plastered. Ordinarily, it's tiled. So what I would do is scrape away all the loose stuff, and if the backer board itself, the Dur-Rock, is in pretty good shape, I would tile it. I would just tile up, you know, as high as you need, like maybe to the top of the toilet, and that would solve the problem of any moisture deteriorating the plaster. Or cut it out. And if you're going to cut out the Dur-Rock, go up to where it's solid, cut out all the damage section, and I would replace it with either a Hardy backer, which is a backer board made out of from James Hardy. It's not it's not like concrete board like Dur-Rock is. Or even better would be a product from Schluter called Kerdi board, K-E-R-D-I. And that's essentially just styrofoam. And that is 100% waterproof. No backer board, tile backer board, is actually waterproof because it's usually cement or something like cement, so it absorbs moisture. But anyways, that's what I would do. I would patch it and tile it. rather than trying to re-plaster it.
Okay. That's excellent.
And it sounds like something that would fix it once and for all and be able to enjoy that bathroom even more instead of seeing, you know, any deterioration like you're having now. But Minnesota Joe, so glad to have you on the show. And if we can help you any other way, let us know.
That'd be great. Thanks for having me.
Okay, our pleasure. Our pleasure. Hey, hope everybody's having a great Labor Day weekend. A lot of times people are taking it easy. And Joe, we were talking about Labor Day and the start of Labor Day. When did that get started?
The very first Labor Day, I believe, was 1882, September 1882, and it started in New York City. It was formed by a local union. Labor union. And that was really, that kick-started the popularity of labor unions in the country.
Well, some people celebrate Labor Day by taking it easy, maybe cooking out a little bit. Others celebrate it by laboring. Whatever you're doing, I hope it's going well for you. You're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio. We'll be right back.
Are you hooked on home improvement? Then take our easy-to-understand practical advice with you wherever you go by downloading the Today's Homeowner podcast. With a fresh new episode every week, you'll always have access to the latest tips, tricks, and answers to your home improvement questions. It's like having Danny Lipford and his crew right there with you while you work. Subscribe to the Today's Homeowner podcast today through your favorite podcast app or visit todayshomeowner.com/podcast to learn more.
Transform your kitchen or bathroom with a beautiful tiled backsplash all by yourself in as fast as one day with Simple Mat from Custom Building Products. Simple Mat is a unique double-sided adhesive mat designed to bond tile to backsplashes, countertops, and shower walls. No mixing of powder, no mess to clean up, and no waiting for the mortar to harden. Simply set the tile onto the mat, then grout. It's the quickest, easiest, cleanest way to install tile. Visit thesimplemat.com for more information. Available exclusively at the Home Depot.
Is your concrete driveway, sidewalk, or patio looking old and worn? Time and exposure to the elements can cause concrete to flake, discolor, or just look dull. Now you can easily renew your concrete surfaces with Quikrete Recap Concrete Resurfacer at a fraction of the cost of replacing it, and you can do it yourself. Quikrete Recap will give you a durable new finish that will last for years. For more information on Recap, visit Quikrete.com. Quikrete, what America's made of. Metal roofing is durable, low maintenance, and energy efficient, making it one of the best choices for today's homeowners. They often last 50 plus years and can protect your home from extreme weather. With styles and colors to suit every taste, metal roofing is definitely worth considering. Want to learn more about metal roofing or find a contractor near you? Check out the Metal Roofing Alliance at metalroofing.com. While you're there, be sure to enter the Metal Roofing Rave sweepstakes and you could win a $100 Home Depot gift card. Visit metalroofing.com today. In older homes with old electrical wiring, the hazards you don't see may be the most dangerous ones. Loose wiring connections or damaged wires can cause arcing or sparks that may lead to a fire. The solution is an arc fault circuit interrupter, or AFCI. Leviton offers AFCI outlets and circuit breakers that detect hazardous arc faults and interrupt the power, reducing the likelihood of an electrical fire. Learn more at leviton.com/AFCI. Could your backyard use a makeover? You can create beautiful outdoor living spaces with Rumblestone from Pavestone. Create a paver patio or walkway, garden retaining wall, grill enclosure, fire pit, or even an outdoor kitchen. These rustic building blocks make it easy and they look great. Rumblestone from Pavestone is available at the Home Depot. And be sure to check out the project ideas and how-to videos at pavestone.com. That's pavestone.com.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by Deitch Coatings. Easily roll on your new stone countertop, garage floor, and more in just a weekend with Deitch.
Hey, have you signed up for the Today's Homeowner newsletter? Very, very easy to go to todayshomeowner.com/newsletter and sign up for it today. We'll send you it completely free of charge once a week. Kind of remind you of a few of the things you might need to do around the home, provide you videos and step-by-step instructions on everything you need to have the best-looking house on the block. Again, todayshomeowner.com/newsletter. All right. Also, we want to remind you on our today's homeowner hotline, you can pick up the phone and call at 800-946-4420 and leave us any question that you like, just like Joseph did in Tennessee.
My question is, what is the most dependable heat pump today? I have a mobile home which came with a great heat pump, been working great for 11 years. I keep it serviced and keep the upkeep. I've never had a problem with it. But which is the best heat pump today, the most dependable and most efficient brand of heat pump?
That's a good question.
All right, Joseph, that's kind of hard to pin it exactly down, but let us give you, and this is very much an opinion, that we've worked with a lot of different companies, and I personally have had installed many, many different brands. But, you know, it's also, they're all not equal, you know, in that some are at the low end of the price range. Naturally, those are not going to be as dependable and as efficient and last as long. And then you have the high-end ones that certainly you can expect them to, you know, do better, longer, and perform better and so forth. I think the top of that heap, Joe, would probably be Trane and American Standard. Those are two that are pretty much at the top of the heap. Now, ironically, a lot of people don't realize they basically are the same company. I can't remember which one bought the other one, but they basically are manufactured very, very similar to one another.
Yeah, the other company that always ranks really highly, most people have never heard of them, it's called Goodman. It's a commercial unit. Consumer Reports last year, I think it was, listed the most reliable units, and Goodman, I think Goodman, Carrier, and Rudd, R-U-U-D, were the top three, according to their cost. But Joseph was saying that the one he has is 11 years old, which isn't old, you know, it's probably halfway through its life, especially if he's servicing it. But the other thing I remember reading recently is that the median cost to repair a heat pump in the United States, on average, every time you call a person to repair it, is about $250. But to replace it, the average cost is $6,600.
So I got you.
When you weigh that, it's like, well, I could have this repaired a lot. They're pretty simple units, too. I mean, if it completely burns out, then you have to replace it, obviously. But if you keep up with the maintenance schedule, even if it costs you two, and this is assuming that you don't have a service plan. If you have a service plan, it might not cost you anything. It might cost you just for the parts. So, you know, when you're weighing $250 against $6,600 for replace it, as long as it's efficient, and this is a mobile home, so it's probably relatively small. So I think as long as it's running, I mean, my theory is if a piece of equipment's working, I'm not replacing it.
Yeah. Well, me either. You whatever you replace it with will be more energy efficient, but it's not going to be so much of a cost savings that it's worth repairing or replacing it right now. However, Joseph, I think you're doing a great thing in getting your ducks in a row in the event that something goes out. You might as well go ahead and decide on what you're going to replace it with so that when that time comes that you have to act quickly, you'll know just what you need to do. So good.
I thought you were saying get your ducks in a row. Like D-U-C-T-S.
See what
you
I say, did?
Well, yeah, I guess we should be in a row.
I'm just a natural comedian, I tell
You're
you.
You're pretty good.
Wordsmith, they call it
you
sometimes.
You are, so.
Hey, I want to share with you something here about what you need to know about basement egress. It's very, very important because, you know, if your home has an unfinished basement, you might be thinking about converting it into usable living space, maybe a home office, a game room, or maybe you need that extra bedroom or two. And that's a great way to add square footage and increase your home's value, but only if you do it the right way. And that means following the requirements of the building code. Now, for basements, the most important issue is emergency exits or egress from living space. Now, the International Building Code defines living space as any area used for living, sleeping, eating, or cooking. Now, that includes, of course, offices, game rooms, bedrooms, and home theaters. These openings are important because they will allow you to escape safely while allowing a firefighter with full gear to get in if there's an emergency. The code requires these spaces to have two forms of egress. The stairway to the main level of the home satisfies one of these requirements, but a second form of egress, such as a window well or basement door, needs to be added to the basement to meet those code requirements. Basement doors are a great way to meet the egress requirements because they allow you to move larger items in and out of the basement without trekking through the house. Now, you'll appreciate that if you have to ever replace a furnace or move furniture down there. Window wells also will help the look and comfort of basement living areas while providing egress as well. Now, adding daylight and ventilation makes basement rooms feel larger, warmer, and a lot more inviting. Now, some window wells are even available with built-in terraces that act as steps and can actually be used for landscaping, you know, be able to plant your favorite plants or flowers to give the basement a bit of a view. Now, these tips are brought to you by our friends at Bilco, the leader in basement access products. And to learn more about how to get the most out of your basement, visit Bilco.com. It's very interesting. Those window wells, we installed one time and came back later on to take some more photography and so forth.
Right.
I had it all planted out and the plants were kind of cascading down like a waterfall. It looked really, really nice. Up your way, you have a lot of basements up there, Joe.
We do. Sure. In fact, Bilco is out of Connecticut. So we see a lot of Bilco doors. Yeah, they've been made in Connecticut for many, many decades.
Well, you're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio. When we come back, we're going to have one more great simple solution from my buddy Joe Truini. You're going to want to hear this one, maybe something you can use right now at your house. You're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio. We'll be right back.
Looking to update the look of your fireplace mantle? I've got just what you need at checkinginwithchelsea.com. Just search for fireplace plans for free printable plans. Then watch my how-to video of this simplistic but sophisticated design, and you're on your way to building your own fireplace mantle too. I can't wait to see what you build, so be sure to share your mantles by tagging me on social media. I'm at checkinginwithchelsea. Again, the plans and video are online now at checkinginwithchelsea.com.
Doing it yourself doesn't have to mean all by yourself. With the Home Depot as your partner, doing's never been easier. You can pick up skills online in a virtual workshop. Pick up what you need fast from easy in-store pickup lockers. Even have it delivered same day. Oh, and if you don't have time to tackle a project, our home services can do it for you. This is doing like never before. This is the Home Depot, how doers get more done.
Got a project? Tight bond wood glues are preferred by pro woodworkers more than 7-1. Why? Because Tight Bond is professional strength, even stronger than the wood itself. Tight Bond is versatile, perfect for interior and exterior woodworking, and the best choice for home repairs. Tight Bond is tough and durable, outlasting extreme weather conditions and conquering demanding projects. Tight Bond wood glues, the trusted choice for the pro in you.
Chelsea Lipford Wolf here. If you're a fan of great before and afters, you need to check out my ranch revival. Dad and I are renovating my 1950s ranch style home inside and out. You'll get the scoop on everything from simple curb appeal updates and painting projects to energy efficiency improvements and rearranging walls. Find out more at todayshomeowner.com/ranch revival. Brought to you by American Standard, Armstrong Ceilings, Geldwin Windows and Doors, Rockwool, and Wetwall, a Wilson Art Company.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by Quikrete Cement and Concrete Products. It's what America's made of.
So many times when you're doing projects around your home or just doing things just anywhere, it's always best to keep it real simple. I think that's why so many people love our simple solution that Joe shares with us each and every week. Joe, share another one with us, will you?
All right. If you've got a bandsaw, check the owner's manual carefully because most manufacturers recommend that when you're not using the saw, you should release the tension on the blade by loosening the tensioning knob. Now, most people are not aware of that and they don't practice that. But if you keep constant tension on that blade, you can eventually damage it. And these blades are usually relatively expensive. And even if they don't damage it, they can stretch it out and sometimes it starts slipping. So every time you stop using the saw, if you're not going to use it again, and most people aren't using, especially most DIYers aren't using the bandsaw every day. I mean, I use mine. If I use it once or twice a month, that's a lot. So after using it, release the tension. You know, back off that knob, release the tension, just so it's a little loose. Doesn't have to come off the wheels, but just so it's a little loose. But now, when you go to use it again, of course, you have to retention the blade. Otherwise, it'll really slip and could pop off and possibly break or injure you. So what I did is I just took a close pin and I clipped it on the blade. So after I released the tension, you just clip a close pin on the blade right above where the work table is on the bandsaw. So now when you go to use it, you'll see the close pin, and you can use a binder clip, use almost anything that would just be a reminder. But when you see that close pin, it's like, okay, take that off and tension the blade. Then you save the close pin, of course, put it back on next time you loosen up that blade.
There you go. That's a great one. If you have a workshop and you have a bandsaw, great way to keep that blade working like it should. Lots of simple solutions waiting right now for you at todayshomeowner.com/simple solution. That's one of those tools that once you get it, you realize that there's so many different things that you can do with that. And
that's right.
Make a big difference on that. You know what we were talking about, sanding drywall and the challenges people have with that. You know, we recently started using just a simple little sander that attaches to the shop vac.
Right.
So, you know, you're still manually sanding, but you have your shop vac on. And I tell you what, that we're right in the middle of a kitchen sanding some drywall repair on the ceiling. And it virtually, I would say 95% of the dust went in there. Now, we clean the filter very, very well in the shop vac. And, of course, you have to put up with the sound of that shop vac. But we put an extra hose on it to make it even more flexible. But, well, that really worked a lot. So there are ways that, and also the sponge idea, when instead of sanding, using a damp sponge can solve a lot of that dust problem.
Yeah, if you have a small job, you know, if you're repairing a small piece of small drywall repair, maybe it's, you know, maybe smaller than 3 foot square or something like that. I first started using just a large sponge I used for washing my car, but then I discovered at Home Depot they actually sell, I assume they always had this, I just never realized it, but they actually sell a drywall sponge, and it's made for exactly that. This way, it creates no dust at all. A damp sponge, you go over the dry joint compound, and it just dissolves it, and it comes out perfectly smooth.
Yeah, there's so many ways, if you just slow down a little bit, that you can do a lot of renovation in your home without having to bring in the crew of maids or spend the rest of your day cleaning and cleaning. A lot of different ways to do that. Hey, that wraps up the first hour of today's Homeowner Radio. If you're listening to a station that doesn't carry the second hour, no problem. Head to todayshomeowner.com/radio so that you don't miss a thing. And, of course, remember our podcast, todayshomeowner.com/podcast, or wherever you upload your podcast. Danny Lipford here, along with my buddy Joe Truini. Thank you for listening to this hour of today's Homeowner Radio.
Hey, we want to hear from you at today's Homeowner Radio. Call the Today's Homeowner Hotline anytime, 800-946-4420, or send us an email at todayshomeowner.com/ask. Again, thanks for listening to this hour of Today's Homeowner Radio.